good morning. We're so glad you're here. Would you please stand with us and sing?
Isn't this a great day? Go ahead and have a seat, please. Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Asbury. It's so great to see chairs coming out as we've gone through the summer months. It's great to see so many of your beautiful faces here this morning. My name's Chase Green. I'm one of the pastors here. It's a delight to welcome you here to Asbury as we give praise and worship and honor to our living God. I want to especially thank our visitors being here. I hope that you have a great experience here. I hope that you feel at home. I hope that you're welcomed, and may you find welcome here in this place. I would invite you to fill out the attendance pads as they are passed to you down your rows. And I have a couple of announcements to lift up this morning. On August the 9th, from 5 to 7 p.m., we're going to have a family game night. We're going to bring all the games that we can, and we're going to bring them all around the church, and we're going to play them. We're going to have a potluck dinner, and it's going to be a great time to be gathered here in that place to have fun. We're also going to have our Hog on the Hill on October 11th. Many of you have heard about this, but we also want to emphasize it as we get closer, that Hog on the Hill is this great fall extravaganza. There's going to be a barbecue competition, a dessert competition. We're going to have the fall festival. We're going to have a silent auction. It's going to be a great night of fun and a fundraiser for our missions. And so finally, I want to lift up the United Methodist Women. They're having a luncheon today for their summer circle. All women are invited, whether you're a member of a church or not. They're going to do that at noon here in the warehouse. There'll be lunch. They'll be putting together UMCOR health kits. It's very important, so we celebrate that and all the things we're doing in this church. Now, would you stand and greet one another in the name of Christ and tell them what your summer vacation is or was? Let's now turn our attention back towards worship as we give God praise in this place.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh they fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I would say it is well. Jesus has overcome. And the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won.
Calls my name, no more sorrow.
There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. And Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more.
Amen. Please be seated. Just want to point out that we have Fred Williams and his family on the back row here, and we're celebrating Fred Williams' 80th birthday. And so we're excited that he's here and their family. And so if you get a chance, wish him happy birthday. At this time, why don't we have the children come forward for children's moments? I think we have a lot of children today. All right, everybody, gather around. Have you guys had a good summer?
Yeah.
It's pretty hot outside. Anybody been swimming? So many hands. You did. I have a question. Yeah? I have a question. Do you know what a judge is?
Yes.
Who knows what a judge is? What does a judge do?
Somebody who tells what you did wrong or just judges you.
Someone who tells you what's been doing wrong.
Someone that settles your problems.
Someone that settles your problems. How about you? Anybody else know what a judge does?
It's kind of like a leader that leads meetings.
A leader that leads meetings, okay. Have you all ever seen a courtroom before?
Yes.
On television?
Yes.
And there's that guy or lady that sits in the front, and they're higher than everybody else.
They
bang the gavel.
I like that one.
And they say, who is innocent?
And who is not.
And who's guilty, right? Did you know that God is a judge of us? That God sees the mistakes we make, but that God forgives us and loves us. Yes. Isn't that a great thing? But what I want to talk about today is, do we judge other people? Do you ever think about people that, oh, that person, they smell, or that person looks different, or that person did something wrong, or they said something that wasn't nice, or I don't like, their parents are mean. Have you ever said anything like that or thought about that before? We call that judging. And lots of times that can hurt people's feelings. Because if they hear that they're being judged or they think they're being judged. And what Jesus wants us to do is to not do that. That's right. Jesus wants to just be nice to people. And we can't be nice to them if we're judging them, right? That's right. Judging is not a nice thing. You are right. You're on a roll. But let's think about how God is the judge, and He doesn't want us to judge. Let's put that responsibility in God's hands, because we wouldn't be very good at what God does, would we? No, we wouldn't. Who wants to pray?
Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for being here. I'm glad that everyone is here. Thank you, Lord, for this grateful day.
Amen. Amen. So great to have so many children. Amen.
Amen.
That's a sign of good things. Amen.
Amen.
It's a very good sign, and we're delighted to have all of these little ones among us. So I would like to lift up some prayer requests for us this morning. People we want to keep in mind for you to be praying for throughout the week. We want to lift up Randy Dennis, Mildred Bradley, Andrew O'Banion, Kelly Caldwell, and the family of Byron Southern, because his aunt Betty Sewell passed away. We also want to lift up those that were affected in such horrific ways in being shot and killed in Chattanooga. And so let us all bow our heads as we go to God in prayer. Holy One, you give to us life, renewing life when we need it, when we're going through dark days, troubling times, difficult moments. Help us to know that we can come directly to you, get on our knees, and pray that you will be there with us, that you will be there surrounding us through every hardship, every pain, that our faith is strong and relying upon you. Lord, we grieve when we hear about the violence in our day. Folks are killed, hurt, families torn apart. It gives us sorrow, Lord. But we also know that you grieve too. You wept when your friend Lazarus died. You weep with us when there's pain or loss, heartache, despair. And those tears are tears that give us strength, tears that give us motivation, and the knowledge that you are right there with us. Help us to stand tall in the face of adversity, knowing that you go before us, behind us, on our left, our right, above us, below us. And help us to remember that it is by your grace that we are saved. It's by your grace that we are made whole. It's by your grace that we can do good things in your name. Now let us pray the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers are making their way forward to collect the offering, I'd just like to let you know that our back Welcome Center table. We have what's called a covenant of ministry. It's a sheet of paper that has a long list of the variety of volunteer opportunities that you can be a part of, different missions of the church, different, you want to be a van driver, if you want to be an usher like these fine folks up here, you can sign up and do that, and we would love to have you join that team. Let us go to God in prayer. Holy One, thank you for the privilege and blessing of being able to serve you. We are honored by that. Help us to thank you for the grace you give us when we serve. And may we be a blessing to others. May we give to you as you've given us your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm lost without you.
Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Beautiful, beautiful music. So grateful to be in this place together as we give God worship, praise, honor God with our lives and who we are. Invite us to look at the scripture passage which comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, verses 37 through 42. Hear these words as they are read aloud, and may they fall fresh upon our hearts and our minds. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. He also told them a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, "Friend, let me take out that speck in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. The last few months of my grandmother's life, we had a ritual for every morning, almost every morning. It's something that I did a few times, something my mother did a few times, sometimes the caregiver would do it. But when my grandmother would wake up from sleep the next morning, there would be this crud on her eye, and it would seal her eyes shut. And so we would go and get a soft washcloth, run it under warm water, and come back and wash her eyes clear so her eyes can open and she could see. Brothers and sisters, this scripture passage is about judgment, about how I come along and see you. See you, see you, see you. And I see the speck in your eye, and I want to bring it to your attention. But what Jesus says is that I'm oblivious because there's this huge log coming out of my own eye that I have not taken care of. We have to wash the eye crud, the sleep, the eye dust, whatever you want to call it. We have to wash it out of our eyes so that we can see clearly. So that we can see clearly, we have to wash our eyes out. How many of you love self-evaluation? Everybody? It's the worst thing ever, isn't it? Because you have to fill out this sheet of paper or talk to a supervisor about your strengths. I hate that. I hate doing it. I have to do it for years, through college, through seminary, for a ministerial candidate, for being ordained, here on staff. You're evaluated, and you have to give a self-evaluation, and you have to fill out your strengths. Well, to me, it feels like I'm bragging. I'm great at this. I'm excellent at this. Look at me, I'm Chase Green. And then it gets better, because then you get to fill out the growing edges or the weaknesses. Everyone loves to talk about their weaknesses. Some of us are a little oblivious to our weaknesses. Some of us are more aware, and so those sheets that we fill out can be long or short depending on who we are and how we see ourselves. But we don't like self-evaluation. But we as Christians, we are actually called as a people to self-evaluate. It's an important part of the Christian faith, because if you are oblivious to who you are, how you act, what your strengths, weaknesses, what your sins, what your stumbling blocks are, it's quite the journey. We have to be aware. And to be aware, we have to wash stuff out of our eyes so that we can see clearly. We don't like to confront our failures, our fears, our sins, our false judgments. And deep down, we don't like to confront ourselves because we're afraid of what we will see in the mirror. Brothers and sisters, when we look at judgment, we see something between us all, something that's broken among us. There's like this default setting that we judge. And so what judgment does is I look at this person over here and I talk about them, or I think they don't look good, or how they dress, or who they associate with, or where they work, or how different they are, what they do wrong, their family issues. And so what I've done is I've put them down and I've raised myself up on a pedestal, haven't I? We do that because we want to avoid the fact that in the eyes of God, we are all equal. Did you know that? That God loves you unconditionally just as He loves you. We don't like that sometimes. We want a God that loves us more. But that's not how God works. God loves us all, whether we like it or not. Will you have your eyes washed out so you can see clearly? You are not Judge Judy. Did you know that? You aren't. I'm not. We've all seen the show. This eccentric lady with the iconic white collar who gets angry very quickly. There's a plaintiff. There's a defendant. She will make a ruling at the end, won't she? We're not called to do that. She's in an official capacity. We are not. Brothers and sisters, aren't we thankful that God is not like Judge Judy? Amen? I didn't hear that enough. I think we're thankful for that. Brothers and sisters, the God we worship doesn't judge that way. That God gives multiple chances. As we think about judgment, we have to approach it to where we attack our mental capacities to change. It starts, we have to train ourselves to catch the judgments and prejudices that come in our mind immediately. So when I think of something bad about someone or a judgment, I have to catch myself. That doesn't come easy. But when we do it, we need to ask God for forgiveness. We need to say, God, I'm sorry I thought about that. Please help me to be a better disciple, to see those people as you see them. We have to catch it and tackle it. Did you know that in almost every culture around the world, there's some version of the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How many of you like to be judged? I'm just curious. Do you love to hear the whispers behind your back? Or the glance that someone gives you? Sometimes we go crazy in our minds when we think other people are judging us, maybe even when they're not. We've just tricked our brain into that. But if we don't want to judge, why would we want to judge others? We have to mentally train ourselves to avoid it, and when it happens, ask for forgiveness. It has to be a part of us that we don't want to judge. Yesterday was Mandela Day. It's a day that recognizes the man and all of the things that he did in his lifetime for South Africa and beyond. Almost 3 decades in prison for speaking out, nonviolent protests. When he was released and apartheid ended and he became the first black president of South Africa, he made a conscious decision to try to have an ethnic diversity of people in the government that he ran. Don't you think that each and every morning when Nelson Mandela woke up, he had to wash his eyes out? He had to prepare himself mentally for the day to come that we would put trust first, love first, forgiveness and seeking justice and reconciliation. It starts right when we wake up in the morning. How will we act towards others? And what it leads us to is that we then have to consciously think about the people that we come into contact have the face of Jesus. In each and every face we meet, there is the face of Jesus. Surely that makes a difference, doesn't it? It's got to make a difference. If I see the face of Jesus in you, or in you, or in you, surely I will act differently towards those people. And it may be difficult for certain types of people to have the face of Jesus, but we're called to do that. We're called to wash our eyes clean of the dust, of the crud, so that we can see clearly. And we're not talking about physical eyes. We're talking about our spiritual eyes. They have to be wide open. What the eyes of the soul show us are the ways of love, the ways of mercy, the way of Jesus. It is the way of Jesus that truly gives us purpose, that brings wholeness to our life. We have to wash our eyes clean. Aren't we thankful that God is the judge and we aren't? Amen? I'm not suited for it, and I think all of us in this room aren't suited for that task, because the God in which we worship, the judge above and around us, is a God that gives us grace, unending mercy and forgiveness and love. Our God is a God of not only second chances, but multiple chances, never wanting to give up on bringing wholeness and freedom to his children. Don't you believe that this day? How can we see others as the children of God? We have to wash our eyes clean of the dust and the crud so that we can see clearly. Because until we see clearly, we don't know what the issues we face are. We don't know the brokenness that we experience and feel is. And once we do, we can go to Jesus. Once we do, we can rely and put our strength on Jesus, who renews our mind, our heart, and tells us that this way of the Christian life is about relationships. How can you have genuine Christian relationships if you're judging each other? Brothers and sisters, we're called to be the family of God. We have to wash our eyes out. Will you have Jesus Christ come up to you and wash your eyes clear for you? Jesus wants to cleanse your eyes, to wipe away the crud, wipe away the dust, so that you can see clearly the face of Jesus. Will you let Jesus wash your eyes? Let us pray. Holy God, you are a God that cleanses us of our sins, our mistakes, when we hurt others. Give us a renewed strength that when we leave this place, our eyes will be open, that our eyes will be clear, that we can see your grace in each and every face and share with each other the love and joy of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us be standing as we sing our closing song, which is If We Are the Body. There are those that would like to come forward to have a time of prayer at our prayer rails, or if you would like to join the life of our church or reaffirm your faith, we invite you forward at this time.
His coat quietly sinks into the back row. Weight of their judgmental glances tells him that his chances are better out on the road. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands? Why aren't his words teaching? But if we are the body, why are his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? Jesus paid much too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. We are the body of Christ.
All right, here we go.
But if we are the body,
let's hear it.
Why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? But if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? Jesus is a way.
If you felt the Holy Spirit this morning, say amen.
Amen.
You feel the Spirit in this place. Receive this blessing. Go forth knowing that the arms of God surround you. Go forth wiping your eyes clean as Jesus has cleansed them. And may you know that Jesus goes with you wherever you may go, asking, will you serve your neighbor? You serve your brother or sister, and may your response be yes and amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.